What's so distinctive about the gospel of Paul, the gospel given by the risen Savior? Now, we talked about last week, I'm going to try to bring you up just a little bit without going to the scriptures. We talked about we're saved by what? Grace and not works. It's a free gift, what? Purchased at Calvary. Purchased at what kind of a price? A great price. It was a man's death. It was God's death. It was man and deity at the same time. It's by faith of Christ. Okay? It's by the, we have faith in the faith of Christ. That's what we have. And it's suffering and dying. All of our sins have been paid for, and we're fixing to look at that. We can't pay for our sins. All we have to do is trust. The word trust, and I want to use the word trust. That's an R, by the way. Trust instead of the word believe. Now, a lot of people want to go in and use Acts 16:31. And before I get into the lesson, go over there. Acts 16. Well, I want to start at 30. And we're talking about Paul and Silas had been in that jail there, and the earthquake took place. And the Philippians, and here's what he said in verse 30. And brought them out and said, sirs, this is the Philippian jailer, and brought them out of the jail and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's what that Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas. In verse 31, they said this, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. There's a period at the end of it. Will that get you saved? No. Believe what? It didn't tell you what to believe. It said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that's a true statement. But believe what? Let's go to the next verse and see. And they spake unto him, what? The word of the Lord. You had to explain what believe something is. And basically what it is this. That Jesus Christ was crucified in A.D. 33 for all your sins. The word all. What happened? He was crucified, buried, and resurrected for your justification on the third day to pay for your sins, to clear you, to pardon you. This is called the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So the shedding of blood, you can't be saved without it. So in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, just with that sentence, you're going to have to read more than just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because you don't know what. Believe He's the Messiah. Believe that He's your Savior. There is a difference. He's not our Messiah. He's our Savior. He's Israel's Messiah. So believe what? So that's what I'm telling you. You really got to look at this. When I talk about the word believe, most of the cases I'm talking about, it's going to mean trust. That's what it's going to mean. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a personal salvation. Now, so that's what took place last week. You know, because we can't do anything for ourselves. Tonight, I want to talk to you about forgiveness is given to those who believe. Trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is given to those who trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And it's not conditional. There is no condition to this. What kind of condition could... People put all kind of conditions on this out here preaching another gospel. If you add anything, I'm going to put plus, any kind of works, or you take away something from this, then you have perverted the gospel of Christ, and that's Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. You have perverted, verse 7, I'm sorry. You have perverted the gospel of Christ. You cannot be saved with a perverted gospel. There's some good people out here, and there's some good preachers and teachers. They want to add just a little bit. You can't add anything to the gospel of Christ being crucified, buried, resurrected on the third day for your justification. And that's Romans chapter 4, verse 25. He died for your justification. To straight. He cleared you of sin. So that's the whole thing here. It's not conditional. It's not dependent upon you or me forgiving. If I don't want to forgive Joe, I ain't got nothing to do with my salvation. If I got something against Joe or Harry or Catherine or anybody in here, that absolutely has nothing to do with my salvation. But I'll tell you what, we should forgive one another and be tenderhearted because God was that way toward us. He forgave us. We should forgive others as God has forgiven us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, if you would, go to Acts 13. I can't wait for the next few weeks to get into something that's going to be, to me, it's not controversial, but to a lot of people it is. But Acts 13, 38, Paul was preaching, him and Barnabas, basically the Bible says in Acts 13, verse 2, he said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul," the Holy Ghost said. So Barnabas' name was first, but it changed. And in verse 38, Paul's talking to the people. He said, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren," verse 38, "that through this man," that's Jesus Christ, "is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Jesus Christ is preached unto you forgiveness of sins. Do you know, hold on a bit, and go over to Romans chapter 5, I think it is. Let me look. It is. It's Romans chapter 5, verse 11. "Because we have forgiveness of sins," that's what it said. "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Why? Because He forgave us of our sins. "By whom we have now received the atonement." We don't have to wait at all for our atonement at the second coming like Peter and his bunch does. They had to endure to the end. They were waiting for the second coming so they would have forgiveness of sins. And that's what it is. It's Acts chapter 3, verse 19, 20, and 21. Forgiveness of sins. They're going to get it. But at the same time, we got ours right now. Right now, saved in this dispensation, we look right back to the cross. We have instant salvation. Those people don't. They had to endure to the end of their life, and they don't get their salvation until the second coming. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, please. We want to go to verse 7. Verse 6. "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." The Beloved is Jesus Christ. Verse 7. That's where I wanted to go. "In whom we have" what? "Redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." There it is, the forgiveness of sins, but it's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the crucifixion, the burial, and resurrection for your justification. That's the shed blood of Christ. That's where our forgiveness of sins is located. You can't have it any other way. Nobody can add or take away and still have the gospel of the grace of God. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 32. And this is what I was stumbling around on a few minutes ago, but this is the exact verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. "And be ye kind one to another." Remember, I said I didn't have to forgive anybody in here to get my forgiveness. It's not conditional on that. "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do, guys. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Yes?
The scripture is exactly opposite of the gospel. It says, you don't get forgiven until you forget the other.
That's right.
You're forgiven regardless. What a difference.
What a difference. This is what's so distinct about the gospel of the grace of God that Paul preaches. It was given to him by revelation from a risen Savior. And he says so in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. "No man taught it to me. I received it from the risen Savior," to paraphrase that. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption through the crucifixion, the burial, and resurrection for your justification, called the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's where your redemption is at. It is absolutely nowhere else. You can't find it. It's the cross. It's called the preaching of the cross. You glory in the cross. For someone that's lost in here, it's called foolishness. The cross is. It's foolishness to those people. But you know, to all the saints that say, it is the power of God unto salvation. That's what it is. And believe me, there is power in the gospel. There is power, power, power. Now, go to Colossians chapter 2. There's always one of my favorites here, I'm telling you. I think I'm going to read verse 12 first. I'm ready toward 13. But in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, we're buried with him, that's with Jesus Christ, in baptism. That's what we're identified in his death. We died on Calvary with him judicially that day. Wherein also you are risen with him. My God, we've been risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And if Jesus Christ wasn't raised from the dead, we're all going to hell. Now, here's where I had started. And you, you Colossians, that's us, just like the Ephesians, being dead in your sins, and we were, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive together with him, with Jesus Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses. The word all is so wonderful, isn't it? Not one left untouched. All of them. It's great. But now, you know, another distinct thing is that you'll have no righteousness of your own. It's not like you can go out there and do the law and try to work righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own, but it's the righteousness of God. That's what it is that's placed upon our account. Go over to Romans chapter 3. Because there's no righteousness that we can do that can please God. I want to go to verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, that's the Mosaic law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, I love those words too, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. People out there preaching the law tonight, they don't want you to see these scriptures, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, then it tells you, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Did you know if you hadn't sinned a day in your life, you'd still go to hell if you didn't trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you had never committed a sin, you're headed to hell. Ain't that something? Go over to Psalm 58. Let's just look at that real quick. I use this at the conference, and it's a very powerful statement. Psalm 58, verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Did you know you're a wicked, despicable type of person? You're totally depraved. There's nothing that you can do that's any good whatsoever. You can't please God in the flesh. That's why us saved people, us saints, not the ain'ts, that's why we're not living in the flesh. We're walking in the Spirit, because the Spirit is 100% God's righteousness placed upon your account. If you're walking in the flesh, you're doomed and down, you're carnal, you're sold unto sin, you're headed to hell. But, like I told you, from the womb, can you imagine from the womb, you're wicked? That's true. You didn't have nothing to do with it. Go over to Romans chapter 5 real quick. I'm going to show you how that takes place. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. You need to know this since I use that scripture right there. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, that's your great-great-great-granddaddy somehow, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. If you've never committed a sin, death passed upon you because you're the descendant of Adam. You were born in sin. You're wicked. You're despicable. You're evil. You're an unregenerate person. And once you finally realize that, you can abase yourself, you can humble yourself, and you can become a servant of God. You will never serve God if you have got pride about you and will not accept the fact that you're no good. You've got to realize what you really, really are. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 14, he said, I'm carnal, sold unto sin. The greatest apostle ever walked the face of the earth is no good himself. Ain't that something? The greatest apostle ever walked the face of the earth, he's just like me and you. He's carnal. Fleshly thoughts. We're not going to change those. That's who we are. Sometimes people get into a depression because they want to please God so much and they still have these evil thoughts popping up. They don't understand it. They think, well, since I've trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior, how come I've still got these evil thoughts, these evil lusts? Because we're human, we're carnal, sold unto sin. We all have them. We all have them. I asked my mom about that one time. I said, Mom, she was 91. I said, hey, the older you get, does some of this pass away? She said, well, it gets to the point don't bother you too much anymore. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. What I'm telling you about how despicable that we really are, and I'm probably the worst in this whole room, the fact of it is, in verse 5, Genesis chapter 6, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And that, listen to the word, what is it? It's every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's you. That's me. That's everybody that's breathing out here. We're evil. Our thoughts are continually this way. You can trust Christ, and that's what you're supposed to do. That's what I want you to do. It's not what I can't. It's not me that counts. It's God that wants you to trust His Son and what He did on the cross at Calvary, the finished work. But the fact of it is, get this through your mind. Your heart is evil continually. You need a Savior. It's the only way to escape out of this world alive. It's the only way to have eternal life. Go over to Genesis chapter 8. Let's do it one more time. Go over to verse 21. I'm going to skip down into the semicolon. And it says, for the imaginations of man's heart is evil from his youth. Is that not bad? I didn't say it. You just read it. Go over to... This is not my plan, but it's okay. Go over to Isaiah 65 real quick. Could be Isaiah 64. Verse 6. This is all of us, but we are all, the word all again, are as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Our iniquities, spiritual sin, spiritual wickedness, have taken us away. All, the word all is there. Go over to Jeremiah. Let's just look at that. These are your common scriptures that you know. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. It says, Jeremiah writes, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You got a heart? Either choose to believe the Bible means what it says, as it says it, where it says it, or you reject it. That's all there is to it. It's nothing to do with me. It's what the Word of God says. It says the heart is deceitful above all things, and that means nobody's heart's good. Now, how about going back over to Romans chapter 10? That's why we need forgiveness of sin. That's why it's the distinctiveness of Paul's gospel that the risen Savior gave him. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. Boy, I love this. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That's trusted. To everyone that trusts this. Ain't that great? Go to 2 Corinthians, please. We're going to go to chapter 5. Verse 21. For he, that's God, hath made him, that's Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Christ is in you and you're in Christ. You're sealed, which we'll probably get to. Go over to Philippians chapter 3. And when you get there, you'll beat me there. Verse 9. But I want to read verse 8. Yea, doubtless, Paul writes, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, but do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. All the things that he'd ever done in the flesh there as a Judaizer, studying the law under Gamaliel, the PhD teacher, who was a brilliant man, by the way. And he had some common sense, and that's another lesson. Verse 9, and be found in him, and be found in Jesus Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. If you're under the law, you try to get your own righteousness. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's great. Now see, another distinct thing about the gospel that was given to Paul is this. We have an assured position in Christ. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. See, Peter's bunch weren't. They could lose their salvation. Ananias and Sapphira sold all things, and they kept back some of the money. And Ananias was on his way back after he sold his stuff, and Peter asked him, hey, did you give me all that money? He said, well, yeah. He lied to the Holy Ghost. That's what he did. God struck him dead right on the spot. Can you imagine if dispensations hadn't changed, and if one person in here, I'd probably be the first one to go, when somebody asked me, did you keep any of that money? No. Boom! If he'd zap you today, he won't zap you dead today. He will not zap you like he did Ananias. And then his wife, as they were taking Ananias out, burying him, they were on the way back, and Peter asked his wife, Sapphira, hey, did you keep any of the money? No! Well, he zapped her dead on the spot. He said, he'll be coming back to pick you up. So he killed them both for lying to the Holy Spirit, lying to the Holy Ghost. But see, we're sealed. Go over to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to go over to verse 12. That we, Paul writes, we, whoever's with his party, what he's going and talking to these Ephesians, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now, I want to back up real quick to Ephesians chapter 1. Hold on to your place because we've got to go right back. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. And it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, that's God now, hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's Jesus Christ. Back over to verse 13. In whom you also trusted, that's trusted in Jesus Christ at the cross, after, there was something in here, after that you heard the word of truth. What is the word of truth? It's the gospel of your salvation. It is the gospel of the grace of God. That's what it is. The shed blood of Jesus Christ being crucified, buried, resurrected from the dead for your justification on the third day. That's what it is. That's the gospel of your salvation. In whom, also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. You know, this old body is going to be redeemed. Our vile body is going to be changed like unto His glorious body. And we're going, the dead shall rise first, and those that are alive will not prevent them that are dead from being raised. And all of us is going to be going up to the judgment seat of Christ, meeting Christ in the air. But our bodies are going to be changed into flesh and bone, no flesh and blood any longer, just like the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 24, verse 38 or 39. That's what we're going to have. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So, but you are sealed. You can't lose your salvation if you tried. You can't get out of it. You're there forever, and thank God for that. What if you had a stroke and you don't even know who you are? You don't know who your wife is. You don't know anything. Or somebody could get a hold of you and have you go join the Mormons, or you go out here and join the Islamic revolution, become one of those people, whatever. You want to just be a Buddha or a Zen or something. Somebody could get to you and mislead you through all this unsound doctrine and winds of doctrine. You don't have any stability. You're not grounded in the truth. But the big thing is, if you get Alzheimer's and you can't remember who you are any longer, it's subject to happen to anybody. The fact of it is, that's why you get saved prior to and you get sealed until the day of redemption. You can't lose it. God cannot deny Himself. And that's what's so wonderful about this. You can't lose it. Cannot lose it. Go over to Romans chapter 8. And this is one of the greatest things right here. Verse 17. Well, I'm going to go to verse 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are. That is, if you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you haven't, this doesn't apply to you whatsoever. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And, verse 17 is where I wanted to go, if children, then heirs of God. Listen to this. And joint heirs with Christ. Can't get any better than that now, guys. If you're a joint heir with Christ, you know what? Christ is God manifest in the flesh. You're a joint heir with Him. My gosh, it can't get any better. But I say that, it can't get any better with the knowledge we have here right now. But, of course, the Scripture tells you, I have not seen and ear have not heard of the things that our Father has got prepared for us. It's just going to be so good, your mind can't even comprehend what it's going to be. Manly wisdom, even godly wisdom here will not tell you. But it's wonderful. It's above and beyond anything. Go over to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. I'm looking for verse 7. Well, I think I'm going to start in verse 5, though. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Well, that's not what Peter says in Acts chapter 10, verse 35. He said, continue to work righteousness. Is there a mistake in my Bible? It says not by works of righteousness. No, there's not even a contradiction in this Bible. You've got to learn how to rightly divide the word of truth so you'll know God never ever changes, and you're going to have the religious system to tell you that. He was the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And that's all true. But there comes a stopping point. He deals with his people. When I'm saying his people, I'm not talking about his people specifically as the nation of Israel. He deals with people differently in every dispensation. You don't go out and slit the throats of bulls and goats and bullocks and those kind of oxen and those kind of things, do you? No. That wouldn't be wise. We wouldn't be, all of y'all would have to bring me some kind of a blood sacrifice, and I'd bring it up here and I'd have to sprinkle blood everywhere. That's not right for this dispensation. So he deals with his people differently in different dispensations. Now, verse 6. Back to verse 5. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Now, that being justified, and that's where I'm headed, that being justified by his grace, unmerited favor, nothing you ever deserve to get it, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This hope is not, I hope I'm going there. This hope is knowing you're going there. There's a difference. It's not like, I sure hope I'm going to be saved. No, I've got a hope of salvation. It's a no-so salvation. You know, people, before this dispensation started, they had to go through the nation of Israel to be saved, the Gentiles. But that was the people that were going to be saved at that time period were the people that blessed the seed of Abraham. And those were in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Abraham said, oh, God tells Abraham, I will bless you and I will bless your seed, and I will curse those that curse you, and so forth. In other words, if the person give alms to the people being the nation of Israel, the chosen people, then a Gentile that was in the covenants of promise could be blessed through the nation of Israel. But you weren't there. You were without God. Let's go take a look at it. Go over to Ephesians chapter 2. You couldn't be saved then unless it was an absolute divine intervention by God Himself. But I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. We're just going to quickly go through this. It says, wherefore, remember, you being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time, that's whenever you were in time past, being, you were without Christ. Now, all you had to do is just believe that one thing. You were without Christ. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You weren't those Greeks. You were not, you're a Gentile. But you're not in the commonwealth. Listen, and it says, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's who you were. You worshiped Diana and other little gods and those kind of things. And it was just you were marrying your sister and your brothers and everything else, and you're having your daddy's wives and all this kind of stuff. And that was what the Gentiles did. Now, but verse 13. But now, this is after Paul has got the gospel of the grace of God in the dispensation of the grace of God from a risen Savior. He says, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off, and we were far off, if you'll see that, when we were strangers and from the covenants of promise with no hope without God. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh, that's near, by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that's enemy, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for him to make in himself of twain, that means two, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came, this is a goodie, it goes back to in relation to verse 12, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off. We were afar off, strangers, and to them that were nigh. So he took two and he made one after he removed the middle wall of partition. That is absolutely wonderful, and I'm going to have to call it quits because I can see people out here. But the fact of it is, the only way that you can be saved today, and have been since the Apostle Paul received the revelation from Jesus Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, the only way that an individual can be saved, and I'm going to tell you, right here, it's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection for your justification. Now, whether it be your brother, your mama, your daddy, your sister, your baby, your relatives, as far back as the Apostle Paul, when he first started preaching and teaching the gospel of the grace of God, they're all lost. Everybody in the entire world is lost that has never, ever trusted the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that's fact. You know, and people don't like to hear that. Because see, you've got to remember something. I think it's 1 Timothy 1:16. Paul was the first into the body of Christ. That's what we're saved into. It's a spiritual, invisible body. And he is the pattern. Women know about patterns. They make dresses. They do these things. Men know about patterns because they have blueprints or whatever. And they build decks out of them. You have a pattern to go by. Little girls take, and used to, I don't know if they still do it or not, they probably play them with a computer now, about 4 or 5 years old. But the fact of it is, they used to cut paper dolls out and put, you know, have a little cardboard thing and put little paper dresses on them and stuff like that. That was a pattern. It was an outline. You just take some scissors and you whack, and you get it. That's pattern. Paul was our pattern, and no one can get saved without following what Paul preached. Absolutely no one. And it breaks my heart to think that relatives of mine, maybe even some of my brothers, and I don't know that, may be lost. But you know, once we get to heaven, once the rapture takes place, then I'm going to the judgment seat of Christ. I want everybody in here there. And then we're forever going to be with the Lord. Wherever Jesus Christ is, that's where we're going to be. Because we're in Christ and Christ is in us. You will not mourn for a relative or a friend or a spouse or a child once you get there if that person wasn't saved. It will be like they never existed because there will be no tears in heaven. There's going to be total joy and peace and comfort in the Lord. That's what I got for you.